I'm here with Bob Pellegrini of Pellegrini Family Vineyards in the Russian River Valley, and we're chatting about his wonderful heritage vineyard, Olivet Lane Vineyard, which is a Pinot Noir and Chardonnay vineyard. And Bob, give me some background about how this vineyard came to be and the history behind it.
Well, back in 1973, my family was looking for some additional acreage to expand into vineyard. And we began to look in the Russian River Valley area. There had been a history of viticulture in Russian River Valley, but mainly from the early part of the 1900s. We do have some old Zinfandel vineyards that are adjacent to us even today. But during the Prohibition era, the area converted over mainly to apples and stone fruits like plums. And most of viticulture was concentrated up in the Healdsburg, Alexander Valley, Dry Creek area, and also over in Sonoma Valley. So the move into Russian River Valley really began to expand in the early 70s, and primarily for cool climate varieties like Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, which is what we decided to move into, coming through the advice of Dr. Kazimatis at UC Davis. Essentially, we began to first make wine under the Olivet Lane label in the early 80s, and I believe we've had now close to 30 vintages of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir that have borne the Olivet Lane label.
And what is particularly unique or distinctive about the vineyard, do you think?
Well, the vineyard is on rolling bench land. It's not near the Russian River. However, it is, within, say, 4 or 5 miles of it. What's possibly very unique, the soil composition is called Washika loam, and there's a good amount of clay also in the soil. Climatically, we get warm afternoons here typically, but we also get the early morning and evening fog pattern, which creates a real moderating climate, which is wonderful for attaining ripe flavors in the fruit, but also maintaining very firm acidity and low pH.
Are you having any challenges as far as the age of the vines now?
Well, at this point, the vineyard is now approaching 35 years old. Some years ago, we began to replant vine by vine, that meaning if we saw a vine that was in decline, we would pull it and then plant in the same location with a new vine with the budwood from adjoining vines. However, we are seeing another area in our Pinot Noir that seems to be declining a bit faster, so we've already had discussions of how we may begin to start taking out 2 or 3 acres at a time and then replanting, doing a replanting project that probably is going to continue for quite some time in small increments.
You produce a Olivet Lane Estate Pinot Noir, and I think Kevin mentioned you in 2006 you're doing a little bit of reserve Pinot Noir as well.
Yes, we started a small reserve project for Chardonnay, which was a unique wine that was fermented on indigenous yeast and received longer barrel aging and basically took on a bit of a different dimension in terms of the characteristics of the wine. And also the wines here, because of their firm acidity and low pH, tend to age very well. And what we'd like to do is be able to release these reserve wines at a later date where we can see Chardonnay and Pinot Noir at a different stage of development. And then last year we also decided to try and have a reserve level Pinot Noir as well, which only came to, I believe, four or five barrels of wine that were a special selection that we thought were rather unique. In the future, we may actually take grapes from a certain section of vineyard, or perhaps pick at a somewhat different time in order to create a little differentiation in terms of the winemaking. So these are small lots that are really not designed to be in large distribution. They're almost a bit of an experiment to see what we can do that will perhaps begin to influence our style of winemaking on a larger scale.
Yeah, well, you're Olivet Lane Estate bottling, the large bottling, is a great wine on its own, certainly, and it's very distinctive. Kevin was talking to me about the characteristics of the wine, the bright red fruit, the grapes having a outstanding chemistry, very easy to work with, vinify. Now, just from a practical standpoint, your wines, the Olivet Lane Estate Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, these are fairly widely distributed, right?
Well, distributed in the sense that they are still, in comparison to other larger producers, the wines are still rather limited productions. Essentially, it's only the Olivet Lane Pinot Noir in the next 07 vintage, I believe, is only about 2,500 to 3,000 cases, somewhere in there. So these are not by any means large productions. The vineyard itself could produce of Pinot Noir perhaps about 4,000 cases maximum, but we still sell a small amount of fruit to a few other high quality artisan vintners, and therefore you may see some Olivet Lane Pinot Noir vineyard designates under their labels. But in any event, this is by no means ever going to be a larger production than even 5,000 cases.
So the best thing to do is to visit the winery here, which is on the Olivet Lane Estate, and purchase the wine here, or through the website. The website access is through Pellegrini Family Vineyards, is that right?
Yes, or Pellegrini Sonoma. Pellegrini Family Vineyards and PellegriniSonoma.com is the website. The wines can be found in some upscale fine wine shops on occasion in different states around the country, but obviously with small availability, they may be there for, you know, only temporary. And then, of course, a certain amount of the wine gets distributed to restaurants. And yes, the wines are available from our tasting room, direct to consumer, just about as long as the vintage is available, let's say.
Is the 06 still available?
Yes, the 06 is still available, and we plan on releasing the 07 sometime this spring.
This is Rusty Gaffney. I'm here at Olivet Lane Estate with Kevin Hamill, the winemaker for Pellegrini Family Vineyards. And we're chatting about the Olivet Lane Vineyard, one of California's heritage Pinot Noir and Chardonnay vineyards. And Kevin, talk a little bit about the vineyard from a winemaker's perspective.
Well, from a winemaker's perspective, it's just about ideal. The vineyard is 33 years old, and it's planted on AXR rootstock. So we're running a little bit on borrowed time, but I mentioned AXR for a couple of reasons. One is that, as I just said, the vineyard is starting to show a little bit of decline just because that rootstock is susceptible to phylloxera. But the benefit that it provides is that the fruit comes in near perfect balance. We pick when the fruit tastes ripe, and that's usually around 24, 24 and a half, so we don't end up with excess sugar. We don't find ourselves having to wait for 27 and 28 bricks. And when we've got those flavors at that kind of sugar, we're looking at acidities that are, you know, naturally at 7.5 grams per liter and a pH in the 3-4 range, and that's just perfect. It's ideal. And so part of the wine's character, and I say that for both Pinot and for Chardonnay, even though the Chardonnay tends to come in slightly lower in sugar, but the Pinot particularly has a very distinct character, which is red fruit, fragrant, and with some subtle spice and floral notes, and it's not a big black fruit flavored or brawny kind of wine, and so. Knowing that, we've tailored the way we make the wine to recognize that and to highlight those characteristics, so that the wines will be distinctive and fragrant and aromatic, but they won't be big blockbusters and they won't have lots of new oak, because that just obscures the flavor of the wine and makes the flavor that the vineyard produces and makes the wine taste like pretty much every other wine that goes in a particular kind of barrel. But the Chardonnay is interesting in a lot of ways, partly because, once again, it won't get to be, you know, 25 sugar. It just doesn't do that. And so if we're at 23 and a half or so, we're in great shape. And once again, very, very good chemistry. In fact, to the extent that sometimes it's hard to get the wine to finish malolactic fermentation, and that's okay. We don't mind that there's a little bit of extra structure there. It makes the wine interesting and gives it longevity, I think. Tasting the wines at 5 and 6 years old in bottle, they're really quite wonderful.
Yeah. What are the Pinot Noir clones?
Well, the clone is Martini, which I believe is also called 23 in the FPMS, and so it's a pretty much a mono block. I was going to say relatively consistent in soil, but there are variations, and in fact, what we're faced with right now is replanting a portion of it, just because we've got one section where the soil is fairly thin, and there seems to be some either just general decline of vines, or maybe there's the start of some phylloxera there. Anyway, we get very low production off of this, maybe a 2.5 to 3 acre parcel down on the south end, and it's on a knoll with probably thinner soil, and so mm-hmm. we're making plans to replant that, and I like the balance and the character of the fruit so much that I want to see what we can do to maintain all of that. We'll have to use a different rootstock than AXR, but mm-hmm. Our plan is to use the same budwood, the Martini clone for Pinot. Very interesting that we make wine for a couple of people in the neighborhood as well, and one of them is just a stone's throw from here, and they have the newer Dijon clones, 667, 777, 114, and I believe they also have a little bit of Pommard, and that's a very different wine. Very similar soils, you would imagine, because it literally is, there's one property between us and that vineyard. Mm-hmm. And because of rootstock, it has a different pH balance. It's a much broader wine, has more spice and brown aromatic character. Mm-hmm. So I think there's something special about the combination of the site, the age of the vines, the rootstock, and the clone.
Mm-hmm. So you bottle this as Olivet Lane Estate Pinot Noir. Is that the label title?
That's correct. Yeah, it's Olivet Lane Estate. It's only fruit from this vineyard, and it's always only been fruit from this vineyard. And we have, beginning with the 2006 vintage, we've set aside a small amount as a reserve bottling, and that's just selection of particular lots that seem special to us, and we give it a little extra age in barrel before it gets bottled. But we've taken the idea or the thought of estate produced fruit and a distinctive character based on where the vineyard is to the next logical step, and that is the fermentations are all native yeast fermentations. Once again, it's possible to add a note or of flavor or complexity depending on the yeast strain that you choose. And we'd always used cultured yeasts before, and starting in 2006 we did some small trials with native fermentations for Pinot. We've actually done it with Chardonnay as well, beginning in the previous vintage. Mm-hmm. And we liked the results so well that in 2007 we set up a more carefully controlled trial and kept the lot separate. And in fact, they still are. We're going to be bottling in about a month. But we made a presentation to the Pinot Forum, which is a sort of technical and, you know, all immersion Pinot lesson for sommeliers that takes place here in the summer. And we showed native fermented Pinot versus inoculated. And the consensus, it wasn't unanimous, but the consensus was that the uninoculated was more interesting. And even some colleagues that swear by, you know, using cultured pure strains of yeast for control purposes came up to me after the presentation and said, you know, that was really good. I really liked that and wanted to talk about, you know, what the logistics were and whether there were any problems, because, you know, the a lot of people are nervous when you just bring your grapes in and you let them turn themselves into wine, because, you know, there can be problems. But it's, I think if you have a good facility and you've done a good job selecting your fruit and brought it in clean, then it's, you know, winemaking is pretty much a natural process. So anyway, that's, yeah, we the wine, we're fortunate now having the winery right on the estate that it doesn't have to go anywhere. It just, it's, you know, 10 minutes or 3 minutes from the vineyard to the winery on a tractor and we've got it. So it's great situation.
What, can you just comment a little bit about the challenges of natural yeast fermentations? What sort of problems were you referring to?
Well, in the things that people get nervous about are whether or not the fermentation will go to completion, whether it will start in a reasonable period of time, so that, you know, you're not having to deal with the development of spoilage yeasts that can grow in the presence of either no or low sulfur. And so the great thing about Saccharomyces cerevisiae, the predominant strain that's used for alcoholic fermentation, is that it's very competitive and it will overwhelm just about anything once it gets going. But if there are a few days before it starts to take off, it allows for there's the possibility that other yeast, Clechera and Brettanomyces or Acetobacter or Lactobacillus could start growing and cause a problem and, you know, compete with the even the native Saccharomyces. So that's one of the things that people get nervous about. And then there's the possibility that maybe the fermentation just peters out before it's done. But we did virtually all of our red wine fermentations on native yeast this year, and we didn't have any sticking problems, and the wines are clean and we're happy with them. But, you know, we keep an eye on them. We make sure that if anything does look like it's going awry, then we would step in and, you know, either put a big inoculation of a cultured strain in or take whatever steps we thought were necessary. But we haven't had to do that. We're feeling pretty lucky about it.
Now, you sell some grapes from the Olivet Lane Vineyard to other producers?
Yes. As Bob Pellegrini will tell you, that the Olivet Lane estate was about half the supply for William Selyem for about 10 or 11 years. And we've also sold grapes in the past to Gary Farrell, to Mary Edwards. We still do sell a small amount to Mary Edwards, and have sold fruit to Costa Brown and Paul Hobbs this year for the first time. So it's a vineyard that has a well-established reputation, and when we made it known to a couple of people that we'd like to see what they were going to do with some fruit, they were pretty excited about getting hold of it.
Okay. Thanks a million.
My pleasure.